You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Well, a very pleasant good Saturday morning to you, and welcome into our week one edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you. Our Coach's Corner program all throughout the football season is brought to you by Hy-Vee, Floyd Valley Healthcare, Ameriprise Financial, Agent Michael K. Ruland, Wilchin Brothers Construction, Chapman Overhead Doors, Nohava Construction, True Health Chiropractic, and Get Branded 360. Well, it was a fun night of football around the area last night, and we're going to rehash it all for you this morning with a few interviews on our program. Coming up shortly, we're going to get Lamar's community head coach Ken Vigdahl on the line. The Bulldogs got a nice 28-14 win over a Class 5A school, Council Bluffs Abe Lincoln, coming to town. Bulldogs walk away with a two-possession victory. So we'll talk with Coach Vigdahl all about that and how the Bulldogs started the year 1-0. We're going to have Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler join us. The Jays got off to a 1-0 start with a very thrilling 20-12 win over Hinton last night. We had that for you right here on KLEM Radio. And if you'd like to watch the archive back of our video stream, you can find that on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel as well. And then we're going to chat with probably the upset of the night here. Akron Westfield head coach John Sievert joins us as the 7th-ranked MMCRU football team, the defending state champs, lost to his Westerners last night by a score of 18-13. Outstanding win for Coach Sievert and the crew, and we're going to rehash all of that with him coming up in, later on in the hour. So stay tuned for that all throughout the remainder of the program. We've got some great conversations for you, I have no doubt. The other scores, not involving some of the area teams, area teams that we mentioned anyway. Class 8 player, District 1, Remsen St. Mary's took a loss to the number 1 ranked team in the state, Audubon, 74-30. That score a little misleading with how competitive it was in the first half. St. Mary's got it down to a 28-24 ball game, but Audubon then kind of did what the number one team in the state does and pulled away from there. Kingsley Pearson, very similar, got off to a good start, went up 6-0 against the defending champion Bishop Garrigan. However, the Golden Bears would score 49 unanswered points, and so Bishop Garrigan beat Kingsley Pearson last night 49-6. Scores from some of the area games, some other games around the area, you can find all of those at KLEM1410.com by hovering over the sports tab and then clicking on sports scores and results. So a very busy night around the area last night in week one of the high school football season. Let's start recapping it with our head coaches around the listening area. We're going to get Lamar's community head coach Ken Vigdahl on and recap a 28-14 win over Council Bluffs Abe Lincoln last night. Stay tuned. That's coming up when you return on the KLEM Coaches Corner right here on KLEM Radio.
Our well-child exams cover athletic physicals, but they are so much more. In addition to physical needs of a child, we also focus on their emotional and social health. Let's face it, being a kid can be hard. At Floyd Valley Clinics, our providers work with families as a team to keep pediatric patients healthy and safe. Learn more about Floyd Valley Clinics at floydvalley.org. Your community, your health, your life. Floyd Valley Healthcare.
Wilchin Brothers Construction in Lamar's is the perfect contractor for any commercial remodel or new construction project. Call Wilchin Brothers in Lamar's at 546-4135. You have big plans for your next build? You want a company that stays on budget and schedule while doing quality work? Call Wilchin Brothers General Contractor and Construction Management Services for peace of mind while awaiting your dream building.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And the KLEM Coach's Corner is back in week one. Our first interview is about ready to get started. Daniel Versteg with you, and we're chatting with the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, Coach Ken Vigdahl, after a week one win last night, 28-14 over Class 5A. Council Bluffs Abe Lincoln, not a bad way to start the year for the Bulldog football team. Coach, first of all, just go off of that point. A 5A school, you're playing a team bigger than you, a school bigger than you. I know we play Council Bluffs, Abe Lincoln, in conference, all that kind of stuff. But just how important of a win is that to, beating a team that is so much bigger than you?
Well, it was just important for our kids to be able to compete. And like you said, you know, the thing about AL last night was they brought probably about 90% of their offensive team back from a year ago. And they probably had about 40-50% of their defense back. So this was a group of kids that played a bunch last year and then, you know, obviously started the year this year and stuff. So I just think overall, you can talk about size and all that, but I mean, just the dynamics of their team. That was a really good team that they put on the field last night. And we were fortunate and lucky, and our kids really responded great last night to some adversity. And so last night kind of had it all.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to have a lot on our bingo card to talk about. I guess it kind of starts with a slow start. I mean, it's week one, so it's kind of hard to fault anybody for that, but not a whole lot going in the first quarter. Did you kind of see that it might have been kind of a, you know, we're all trying to figure out our offenses a little bit, and that's maybe why both teams kind of got off to a slow start last night?
I think so. I think, you know, the first game, you think you know who you are, but until you actually really start playing games, you know, scrimmages are nice and practice is nice and all those things are good. But at the end of the day, you really don't know what you have until, you know, it's really a win and loss situation. You know, scrimmages are nice to win. They're nice to get, you know, kids playing time, but it's not, okay, you're going to get a W or you're going to get an L in a column and that's the way it's going to go. And so last night, I just think, you know, first game, everything, you know, you talk about there was good, there was bad, there were mistakes. The first mistake was my mistake. You know, I haven't missed a national anthem in over 30 years, and we changed the time. I didn't put it on my card. We weren't out for it. You know, that was my mistake. I was like, you know, I need to be better at that. But just like we tell the kids, you got to move on and next play. So my next play was we got to play, call the game. And so, you know, that's where we went. But, you know, the whole thing was we made a few mistakes up front. We made a few mistakes in the backfield. But, you know, at the end, it was just really great to see that our kids just in the second half, even in that fourth quarter, they just kind of found that rhythm that your offense wants to find. And, you know, I thought Joaquin had a heck of a night last night. And due to our offensive line, I thought they had a heck of a night when they decided this is what we're going to do. And we kind of decided, but the unsold heroes of that whole run game was our two wings when we got into our double wing with our W and our Z. Man, they blocked really well last night too. So it was just a great effort, especially after, you know, it kind of tied up and got 0-0. We went down and we were driving and we fumbled the ball and they moved the ball a little bit. But, I mean, when our kids said, this is what we're going to do, and we lined up and we really only ran about two plays from them from that point on, and it was a big night.
Ken Vigdahl with us, head coach of Lamar's football, 28-14 winners over Council Bluffs, Abe Lincoln. Do want to get into what you guys were able to do in the second quarter, but I wanted to kind of touch on one of the things you said where you don't really know what you have yet because, you know, scrimmages are so much different than game speed. How do you as a play caller change or alter or maybe inhibit how you're calling the game from a play selection standpoint offensively where you're still trying to figure out what do you have? How do you call plays to you know, try and run some effective offense?
Well, what we do is we script the first 10 plays. So the first 10 plays are going to be the first 10 plays. And so we're going to throw just about every formation at the defense that we're going to run that night. And so with that being said, we have somebody looking for alignment, and what you're really looking for is where are the gaps, where are the holes in those defensive alignments. So are they in a two tech, which means are they outside shade of the guard, or are they in a one tech, which is the inside shade of the guard? Are they in a five, even up? Are they in a six? You know, all those things matter at that time. And so what we're actually doing, believe it or not, is we're collecting a lot of data in those first 10 plays of how are they going to align to that? And so then from there, you kind of start building your offense. We ran a lot of boot last night. You know, we wanted to make sure that Jordan had a two-way go, so we were able to boot. Ephraim's first touchdown catch was we ran a boot. And even though we run a comeback, the kid really didn't break off or he kind of stopped his feet, the defensive back. And Ephraim, instead of running a comeback route, he just took it you know, deep, and he was wide open. And so, you know, we kind of felt that was a big play. We ran it a year ago to the wing. Last night we ran it to the tight end side. So all those kind of things, you're kind of built in, and you're kind of, you know, trying to figure out where we're at and how we're doing it.
Yeah, let's go into that second quarter now, where you guys did get the Ephraim Kumbago score. This is going to be kind of a two-part, because I do want to also talk about how you guys got your second touchdown. But Ephraim's score, I watched that back on the stream. That can be kind of a hard throw, especially for a kid making his first start at quarterback, in the sense that he's so wide open that you could easily get in your own head and miss the throw. Just what'd you see as far as the composure of Jordan to be able to make that throw accurately on the run and get you guys on the board?
I think you and I know that, and every coach knows that, but you are right. That is the hardest pass that a quarterback will ever complete, is the guy that is wide open, standing there waiting for you to throw him the ball. So, I think you're right, and when Jordan came around, the good thing we were to his right, so he didn't have to flip his hips, he didn't have to do anything when he booted, and just kind of put his foot in the ground and make the toss. And, you know, it's one of those things too, just like you said, wide open, do I panic, do I overthrow it, do I underthrow it, do I throw it too hard, throw it too soft, you know, all those things are going through a kid's mind when he releases the ball. But I think Jordan was just focused. He just let it go and right into Ephraim's hands.
Ken Vigdal with us, head coach of LaMarsh Community Football. That was a great score. Got you guys on the board. And then, you know, kind of, you know, some craziness happens as you guys were driving. You were near midfield, had to punt it. And then it just takes a fortunate bounce off the kid's leg. I mean, just what did you see on that play? And how are you guys able to get down there so fast to recover that muff too?
Well, it's one of those things too. You hit the nail on the head there. It was like, you know, the ball's bouncing and I'm thinking, okay, we're going to down this, you know, inside the 10, inside the 5. And all of a sudden it just took off and hit that kid in the leg and there it goes. And, you know, on punt team, you better be running down there or else you won't be on the punt team. You know what I mean? Because you have to cover punts. And then we were fortunate enough to have a really short field, and we were able to pound it in there.
Yeah, and, you know, Cooper Pick, the one who recovered it, and then, like you said, you ran the ball very well. You highlighted Joaquin Hernandez a little bit. Christopher Sanchez also had a score for you. Just, you know, I know you talked about the offensive line and what they were able to do, but then once given the opportunities, what did you see out of Joaquin and Christopher that allowed them to run the football so well?
I just think Joaquin really, you know, he's a two-year starter, and I think the thing he did last night that maybe he didn't do a year ago was he really has great vision, and then he would put his foot in the ground, make a cut, and then he would stay in that cut. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Lots of backs will try to make two or three cuts, where last night he would, let's say we're going to the right, he'd go to the right, and then he'd put his foot in the ground and head north and south. And, you know, he just has that little knack in there. And I mean, he was a physical runner last night. There were lots of times that he would get hit at 2 or 3 yards. And then, you know, we get a 6 yard gain out of the deal. So, I thought he was a physical runner. I thought Chris did an excellent job last night. Really when he got the ball, and he's that same type of runner that, you know, he's got a little more wiggle to him, I'd say, and you know what I mean. And he made people miss all night long.
The adversity you guys faced that you talked about, as we're chatting with Ken Vigdal, head coach of LaMarsh football, 28-14 winners over Council Bluffs, Abe Lincoln. I would have to imagine that adversity that you alluded to earlier was what we will probably talk about here in the third quarter. AL gets the ball, goes on a drive, scores, and then you get the ball back and throw a pick six. So a 14-0 game very quickly turned into a tie ball game. I guess, first of all, what was AL doing effectively offensively that was allowing them to score the ball? And then just how tough was it to see that, you know, quickly turn into a tie game?
Well, number two, he was an excellent receiver for them a year ago, and he was back. He was their number one receiver a year ago. So what they do, because we're in that cover four and our base defense, they were running the corner off, they would run an out route with somebody that the corner would jump, and then the safety has to come over. And, you know, they ran that twice, and one of them was a big pass play. And you know, our safety was right there the first time, just missed the ball. And then they were able to do that again on the other side. They went to the left, and he was able to get a touchdown. And then they threw a fade route to him for the second score there. So what ended up happening was it was a great play by those guys. Mm-hmm. Both touchdowns were great plays by them. Yep. We were there. We were defensively there. But you know what? In football games, plays are made, and they made them.
Yeah, they certainly did. And so it ended up being a tie game for a good chunk there until about midway through the fourth quarter. You guys get back on the board. Tell me about that drive, the one that gave you the lead to 21-14. What were you guys doing effectively offensively, and how were you able to get in the end zone?
So we went into what we call a double wing formation, mm-hmm. and what we just really did then was we knew they would shade one way. So we were talking earlier today about inside shade of the guard, outside shade of the guard. Mm-hmm. Well, they were playing the inside shade on the guard on one of the sides, and so we just went ahead and attacked that side. So it was an easy divide block for our guard and our tackle out, our wing inserts, and then what Joaquin did what he does best. And so we were just able to get going with our offensive line. They got a push. We were getting 5 yards at a pop, and so we were able just to move the ball. And then what we kind of did was we kind of rolled it, what we call it, is you're just going to run the same play over and over again one or two times. And we sort of wore their defense out. And, you know, once you hit a ball carrier and our offensive line continues to push, the ball carrier continues to run, and when there's contact and you still get another 5-6 yards after that, that's kind of defeating for the defense. And I think that's what our offensive line really did last night in that fourth quarter. They kind of took it over. They took charge of it. And then Joaquin had that great run from, I think, about 30 out to score.
You know, what does that say about your kids this early? Week one, you know, you guys take a big lead going into half, 2-score game, and you're thinking, all right, you might be able to cruise. And then AL fights back there in the third quarter, ties the game up right away. And yet you guys come back there in the fourth quarter, get a big drive going, score. And then, of course, we'll talk about the pick six too. But, I mean, just what does that say about your kids early that they were able to take all that adversity and come through?
Well, I think when you look at, and I said this to him after the game, I said, this whole game encompassed our whole entire program. Why do we have core values? Why do we say the things we say? Why do we do the things we do? It's all because it's all adversity, because as well as you know as well as I do and everybody listening, your life is full of adversity. Yep. You're going to have great times in your life, but you're going to have times that aren't so great either. And so, you know, football kind of mimics that. And so I said to him, look at all our core values that we lay out there. Every one of them had to play a part in tonight's game. And, you know, going from being ahead to tie up to we scored a couple times that got left out of the board because of mistakes. But, you know, all of that is what we embody, and that's what you have to fight through every single day.
Of course, the game was over at this point with the pick six by Jaden Vlachek. But, you know, that I watched that back too. Underthrown ball, he's right underneath it, and then boy, what a return he had to get all the way down to the end zone. That was had to be a really nice feeling for him, and of course for everybody for the Bulldogs.
It really was a great return, because one of the receivers had the angle to tackle him, mm-hmm. and he had that little, like, he got to about the 3 or 4 yard line and kind of had that sidestep cut back into the field and made everybody miss. And so that was a great catch and really a great run by Jane to score there.
Yeah, so that was a really great way to cap off the night. I know, I think AL had a big play there on their following drive, but by that point, not too much to do. So a really good showing by you guys. I know we talked about a few players offensively, but you know, not only did Christopher run the ball so well for you, it looked like he was everywhere defensively too. 7.5 tackles led your team there. Talk about his knack and how he was able to locate the ball handler and make so many great plays last night.
Yeah, that, you know, they came back with a passing offense, and that's what they really like to do and stuff. So Chris was just able to be in the right place at the right time lots of times. But in return, they like to run the quarterback on a little sweep. Mm. They like to run counter. I thought Chris did a really great job of reading his keys. You know what I mean? Because you have down linemen, you have pulling linemen, and they kind of take you to the ball. So, you know, if you read your keys, that's the fastest way and route to a tackle.
Well, last thing for you, you got a tall task here these next couple of weeks of non-district play, but specifically with Bishop Heelan. They were ranked number 5 by Radio Iowa. Did take a loss, but to a very good Sergeant Bluff Luton squad last night. So you're going to their place. You're playing a tough team on the road. You mentioned some of the mistakes that happened last night. What has to go into cleaning them up this week so that you can put your best foot forward against the Crusaders?
I just think it's the same. It's high school football. I mean, every week is a cleanup week, right? We all make mistakes. We come back, we watch film, we clean it up, and we just get better throughout the year. So the good news is we got a win last night. We did a lot of great things. We focus on the great things that we did. We clean up the things that we did. Like anything that we did last night, it isn't one of those things that's unfixable. They're all fixable because it's all just little things that we have to do. It might have been an offensive lineman not take the correct step. It might be, we talked about Jordan a little bit about, hey, when I'm out on a boot, you know, do I throw it? I run it. All those things defensively. You know, what are they in? Are we in the right coverage for their trip set? All those things are easy to fix. Well, they're not easy to fix, but they're fixable.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so that's what we have to do. We just have to play our game. We have to be as solid defensively. We have to be able to move the ball offensively against Heelan and, you know, hope for the best.
Well, we're looking forward to that game. We're going to have it here on KLEM, see if the Bulldogs can play a little spoiler to the Crusaders home opener. Should be a great matchup. Until then, Coach, we'll let you go. We'll chat throughout the week, I'm sure. Appreciate your time, and best of luck as you get ready for this upcoming week.
Hey, thanks a lot, Daniel.
Yep, absolutely. He's Ken Vigdahl, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. When we come back, Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler joins us on the Coach's Corner here on KLEM.
Discover wellness. Discover True Health Chiropractic Lamar's. Dr. Jared Langle and his wife Sarah look forward to helping you on your journey to true health with a holistic approach to chiropractic care. Dr. Jared will address the root cause of your symptoms and guide you through mindful movement and proper nutrition. And discover the health benefits and relaxation through infrared sauna sessions. Discover True Health Chiropractic across from Four Brothers, Lamar's.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today, 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Well, we welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you, and we have another winner in the hot seat today as we are chatting Galen Catholic football with head coach Jeremy Schindler. The Jays were winners last night by a final score of 20-12, a good way to open the season, 1-0 over the Hinton Blackhawks. And, Coach, I look back before the game, you hadn't beat Hinton at all in 4 years. 2022 was the last time you did it. Just how impressed were you with your guys' ability to pull off a big win and get a crucial win to start the season?
Yeah, you know, that's something that I think Wyatt couldn't said it to me at the beginning of the year. He said, you know, I want to beat these guys. Mm-hmm. I haven't beat them. And it's, we want to start out faster. We always seem to start slow, just, you know, offensively, defensively, just get our, it takes us a few weeks to get our footing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a goal that the seniors, our captains, have been like, hey, man, we want to go out here and we want to show out this first game and then just continue to build off that. I think that's the next important step, but we'll talk about this. I was really proud of them because it didn't start off good.
Right.
I mean, you know, Hinton goes down and I think two plays, scores, and you're just like, oh, man, what are we doing? You know, like, it just wasn't good and I give our defense a ton of credit because they came back, they hung in there. We put them in some bad field position spots. Like our offense couldn't get out of its own way. When we got something going, there was a penalty that pushed us back. But defense kept us in that game for that first, you know, quarter and a half, and we couldn't do a whole heck of a lot. And then all of a sudden, you know, we put together that drive right before halftime, and and that really kind of got us going.
You know, you talk about the struggles you had in the first quarter and a half. I think that's a really good time frame to look at. You guys were trying to run the ball. You were getting it to Wyatt Koontz, who, as we're going to talk about, ran the ball very well. You guys tried to throw it. You were able to complete a few passes. What ultimately was hurting you offensively that first quarter and a half?
Well, I think early on it was just some of those mistimed penalties. Like, you know, and one of them was on me. We had delay a game, and it's I got to communicate with the quarterback when the play clock's not working, but the play clock had been working, and then we didn't look at the back judge, and that one's on me. But, you know, just, you know, a false start here, a holding here, whatever it happened to be. You know, I was trying to figure out what run game. We have a multitude of running plays. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just here you go, line the ball up and run this way, run that. Like, we got different blocking schemes. It was really trying to figure out what's going to work. They had seven guys in the box when we're running spread. It's a lot, you know. And so it's one of those things where we were able to throw a couple bubbles out to the flats, and that loosened them up just enough to where we started to run our downhill dive play. And it was basically just man-on-man blocking. Center blocks the nose, guards block the backers, tackles block the defensive ends. And we don't care about those outside backers because Wyatt's going to hit it straight up the gut real quick. And those guys really executed that blocking scheme extremely well for about the next 2.5 quarters, you know, up until probably our last offensive series, you know, Hinton started to throw the kitchen sink at us. But I mean, it was honestly, I felt like I called dive about 20 times. And I didn't think it was a play that honestly we didn't put in until Wednesday towards the end of practice. It was something that we ran last year. But I just thought, you know what, we better have this in our back pocket just in case those outside linebackers are hanging. And thank God we did.
Yes.
So.
Well, paid off for you. Again, we're chatting with Jeremy Schindler, head coach of Galen Catholic football, 20-12 winners over the Hinton Blackhawks. From my vantage point, the big turnaround in the game was when you guys were able to force a stop on fourth down. Hinton had been in the red zone there in that second quarter, and then you go on a big drive. It was a 9-play, I believe, drive, 79 yards. Wyatt runs it in to cap it off. What kind of things changed, or was it just a big confidence boost for you guys that led you to that score?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at that drive, we actually started off not good. I think we took a negative on the first play. We got a little bit back on the second play, but it's third and long. And that is not, right now, what we're built for. And I tell you what, Carson Checker, it was probably his best throw of the night. We run a little RPO, and he put the ball right in Drake Knipes' hands. And Drake did a good job of getting upfield and just getting enough for that first down. So I give Carson a lot of credit. That was a big-time throw from him to put that ball over the middle and hit Drake in stride to where he can go pick up the first down. And then from there, we just kind of took off a little bit. We started to get the running game going. We got a little mojo. Football's a momentum game.
Yeah.
And that's why I told the guys at halftime, I said, defense, thank you for hanging us, keeping us in the game. You know, we didn't have anything going offensively for the first quarter, and probably quarter and a half, to be real honest. But then all of a sudden, it's take that one play. You know, Carson makes a great throw. Drake makes a catch. All of a sudden, it's like, man, they got to loosen up a little bit. Now their linebackers can't be flying to run every single time and, you know, allows our guys to get off the ball and make great blocks, and Wyatt took us home.
Yeah, he ran the ball so well. At half, you guys were up 7-6. What kind of things, if anything, adjustment-wise, did you guys make? Because you were able to, move the ball, I thought, pretty effectively most of the second half.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had the big play. We wanted that big play right out of halftime, and, man, we just missed it. Again, that's, you know, Carson just underthrew him just a smidge, did a great job of our play fake. I'll have to take a look at the film, see what the protection was like, but we had him beat deep, and we were that was six, man, but that's a play Carson will learn from, and he'll continue to get better. Again, that's where Carson needs to continue to improve, is that deep ball. I thought, again, we didn't ask him to throw the ball deep. We asked him to throw short quick passes tonight, and I thought he executed those pretty well and did a good job of taking care of the ball. That was the big thing we asked him to do. So, and then, you know, Drake Knight comes up with the huge momentum play on defense. I mean, hey, anytime I don't have to call a play on offense and we put points on the board, that's a good thing for me.
Jeremy Schindler with us, head coach of Galen Catholic football. Yeah, let's dive into that. It was an option play, and he snatched the pitch and just ran it back for a touchdown. I mean, you've been coaching football a long time. Have you ever seen anybody do that with an option pitch before?
No, and Coach Onzone's been coaching a long time, even longer than I have, and he's like, man, that was pretty cool. He's like, I've never seen something like that before. Yeah, he just, you know, a lot of times, you know, we were talking before we got on air, a lot of times you see that a guy knocks it down or,
right. You
know, maybe bobbles it because it catches them by surprise, but I think the pitch relationship there, the running back and quarterback just got a little too far apart, and Drake did a really good job of not going to one or the other. You know, he kind of, we call it, he feathered it. He played right in the middle, basically, and, you know, when that quarterback had to make a decision, he's like, all right, either I turn it up and go towards the up the field towards their middle linebackers and defensive linemen who are running down the line, or I try and make this pitch. Mm. And he tried to make the pitch, and Drake made him pay. I mean, and he showed us some of that track speed that he's so proud of. But just a great play by him. Like, we tell the guys, go out there, do your job, and make a play. When the ball comes to you, when it finds you, whether that's making a tackle or the ball's in the air, just go make a play. And that's the example of a kid making a play and just making the most of an opportunity that presented itself to him.
And even outside of that, that play was tremendous defensively. But even outside of that, talk about Drake's night defensively, because I mean, he was making some great plays on the edge for you.
He did. You know, he's a kid. He's put in a lot of work this offseason. He's gotten stronger. He's faster. You know, Drake's the type of build. I don't know if he's ever going to be, like, big and thick. Mm-hmm. But I like to describe him as he's wiry. He's a strong kid for what his weight is. Mm-hmm. And he's got that long stride. And he's just an explosive, bouncy athlete. And he made some really nice open field tackles. You know, he's what we call an ankle biter. He goes down low, and I say, hey, man, I don't care as long as you get him to the ground. That's the big thing. You know, and that's how you got tackle in the open field. Mm-hmm. I was just really impressed with his play overall defensively. I got to do a better job, but we got to find ways to get him the ball on offense because he could be a difference maker for us.
Jeremy Schindler with us, head coach of Galen Catholic football. One guy you had no problem getting the football to was Wyatt Coons. We talked about him a little bit. Of course, he was your bell cow all night, but especially in your final scoring drive that took 6 minutes off the clock. I believe it was an 11-play drive. I want to say Wyatt probably touched the ball 10 of those 11 times, if not all 11. What impressed you most about his running ability, especially considering what we talked about earlier? It was a bit of a slow start for him running the football.
Yeah, I think the biggest compliment I can pay Wyatt, you know, I know he's fast, I know he's got great vision, the kid's tough, man. Mm-hmm. He's just tough. And his offensive linemen feed off of that. Like, they love it when they're running back, he's not the biggest guy in the world, we all know that, it's no secret. That kid finishes runs going forward almost every single time. He's always falling forward. And his line, you see it there on that, I think on that last touchdown, he gets kind of stopped at about the half-yard line, and his linemen come in behind him, and they push the pile and get him across the end zone. Like, they all just feed off each other. Like, I was so impressed with how our line took control of that game and was able to just grind out. It wasn't really grind out. Like, we were getting some chunks there. We were getting 10, 12-yard gains, and it was like, man, he's getting 6 yards into the defensive backfield before he's even touched. Mm-hmm. And that's a credit to, you know, some guys who, up the middle, If you would have said I was going to run dive that much, I'd have said, I don't know about that. Our two best offensive linemen, it's no secret, play right and left tackle.
Right.
You know, our big boys are playing outside. Mm-hmm. And I thought outside zone was going to be a little bit better for us. But give guys like Parker, Cave, Britton Kellen came in there for a little bit, mm-hmm. Eddie Venegas, Easton Spangler, those guys who play our center and our guards, those guys did a really good job of getting on people, and maybe it wasn't the most devastating block, but they kept him covered up. They drove him a little bit, kept him covered up, and that's all it takes for Wyatt. He don't need you to block him for long, just enough for him to squirt past.
Yeah, and it was such an impressive performance, again, like you said, by offensive linemen that maybe fly under the radar with the two guys bookending them on the outside. So you get up 20-6 there at that point with that touchdown. We do have to touch on, you know, Hinton gets a drive going to score a touchdown. You're trying to run out the clock. They block the punt. All that aside, the resilience of your guys. They're starting at the 13-yard line. They have a little less than a minute to go on the clock. No timeouts, but they get into the end zone. It makes something happen. How did you guys find the fortitude to stand tall and say, we're not letting them score on us?
I don't have a clue. I mean, I'm just being real honest. I took a breath when it got to 20-6, and that was, you know, that's stupid of me to do that, because that's a team over there who's not going to quit, and not that I thought the game was over, but it was just one of those where it's like, all right, you can relax just a little bit, and we did defensively. We relaxed a little bit, and they made a huge pass play. You know, they big completion, go down, score a touchdown. All right, well, they missed the PAT. It's an 8-point game, and we try and run, you know, at that point in time with 3 minutes left, we're trying to get one, maybe two first downs. We end up having to need two. But we at least we get one, and we can at least run a larger chunk off the clock, and I think there was maybe just under a minute, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
So we kind of accomplished that, and at that point in time, it's nothing against Carson Checker. But we're not going to put the ball up. We're not going to put the ball in harm's way. This is a kid who's making his first varsity start. I thought he managed the game extremely well. I thought he made plays when we asked him to. I thought he made a couple really good throws. But at that point, it's like, all right, if we have to punt this ball with 50 seconds left or a minute left, we've been playing really good defense.
Mm-hmm.
We let up two touchdown drives. One, the first drive, I don't know what team that was because they didn't play the rest of the game. The other one, we gave up a big pass play that kind of sparked them to get in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
If we punt this ball away and they got to go 50-plus yards in a minute with no timeouts, right, that's really hard for a high school football team. So I was right, just playing the numbers there, and then they blocked the punt. And, you know, at that point it's like, oh, boy, what, you know. But at least we're up 8.
Mm-hmm.
So at worst, they score a touchdown, right, 2-point conversion. At worst, you're going to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
But give our guys credit. They hung in there. And they made enough plays. You know, I think Drake Hodgson had a huge sack,
yes,
in that drive, and that really ate a bunch of clock. We tackled him on the first play, kept him in bounds. Clock keeps running, yes, running. And, you know, eventually we got out of there. They dropped the ball. I don't know where he dropped it. I don't know if that would have scored. I don't know if it would have been a first down. I don't know where he ended up being.
Right.
But he dropped it. And we get to go in victory formation, and that's really all that matters.
Yeah, huge win for you guys, starting off 1-0. Again, Jeremy Schindler with us, head coach of Galen Catholic football, after a 20-12 win over Hinton. So you use that now, and you start district play next week. You host Sibley O'Cheadon. Just recalling, this might be kind of a sneaky game from the standpoint of you guys are probably very motivated to play better. Frankly, you did not play very well in Sibley last year against these guys. How motivated are the guys, not only because of how you played last year, but also with the fact that it's a district opener and the guys want to you know, make a statement in week two?
Yeah, I mean, last year things kind of spiraled on us in the second half. We kind of got down on ourselves, and it was probably the worst half of football that we played all year, that
right,
second half up at Sibley. So, you know, I think this team's a little bit different. I was very impressed with how our guys stayed together. I give a lot of credit to that senior group, because that could have melted really fast,
right,
when we gave up a touchdown, mm-hmm, on that first drive against it. Like, that could have snowballed, and this game could have been a rout. So I want to give our guys a lot of credit. I think we're a little bit different of a team in that aspect, that I'm hoping that we stay a little bit more positive when things get going tough.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think the guys are really more, and it's a huge game. You,
yes,
know, you look at the, you know, every district game is a big game, and our district is extremely competitive. So anytime you can get a district win, obviously that's one step closer that you are to making the playoffs, which is what everybody wants to do.
Well, it's going to be a great game. Again, that is the home opener for Galen coming up next week, Friday, at Jim Lorenzen Field, 7 o'clock kick, of course, against the Generals. Well, Coach, we'll let you get ready for that game here this weekend. We appreciate your time. Congrats on the win, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. Jeremy Schindler, head coach of Galen Catholic football, in the Coach's Corner. We're back with the Akron Westfield head coach, John Seaver, coming up next on KLEM.
put Nohava on the job and on your buildings. Nohava Construction doesn't just offer products to customers, they offer solutions. Their partnership with Duralast Roofing Incorporated allows them to deliver one of the most durable, maintenance-free, and high-performing roof systems in the industry. To top it off, Nohava Construction has been named an elite roofing specialist, which means your warranty is automatically guaranteed with any Nohava installation. Nohava Construction in Lamar's.
Ameriprise Financial, with Mike Ruland, Ross Ruland, and Sam Van Wettering, are proud of our local athletes. Talk with Mike, Ross, or Sam about how you can set up and reach your financial goals today and tomorrow.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Well, we welcome you back on the KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you as we continue to recap week one, and we are doing so by heading out to Akron. And the upset of the night, if you will, by ranking anyway, is in Akron. The Akron-Westfield Westerners defeated 7th-ranked MMCRU last night, 18-13. A big win for Coach John Sievert and his team. Coach Sievert joins us now on the Coach's Corner. Gosh, Coach, what a win. Just describe what it was like to address your guys in the huddle after your 2-6 year last year, and then once zeros were on the clock and you realized, man, we just beat the defending state champs.
Yeah, it was all smiles. I'm not going to lie. I looked around. Everybody was, you know, just, what's he going to say? What's he going to say? And I couldn't help but just say I'm proud of you guys for finishing a game and playing tough and flying to the ball. It was an electric night, I'm not going to lie. Just extremely proud of all those guys and the hard work they put in, and they're going to get what they deserve. So just a tough win. Kind of speechless a little bit. Just proud of them.
Yeah, it was such an impressive result. And as most people who are listening know, I mean, we talk as we get ready to record an interview, as we get done recording an interview. And I know when we talked a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned to me, this is going to be an entertaining game this first week of the season. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but it's going to be a lot more entertaining than people thought. And I'm not going to lie, Coach, I wasn't fully sold on it, but you guys got it done. What ultimately gave you that feeling about your prospects as a 2-win team last year going up against the defending champs?
Yeah, I think it really helps that we returned a lot of guys. I got a pretty dang good senior group and a very good junior group that are doing a good job leading the way. I think this summer helped. I don't know if there was an emphasis on the focus they had. Just all around, I think, just as a whole, too, the coaching staff, we kind of changed our philosophy a little bit, and I think it's working for us. So those guys bought in. They're figuring it out. Last couple of years, yeah, I'm not going to lie, they've been rough. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy with what they've done so far.
Oh, it's very impressive. Again, 18-13 was the final score. Let's dive into that a little bit. You guys were up 12-0 in the first half before we talk about how things went in the second half anyway. What was clicking for you guys? I guess we'll first start with the offensive side of the ball to get to two scores on the board in the first half.
I thought we did a really good job up front running the ball. They presented us with they lowered the box a little bit towards the end, which, you know, stopped the run, but, you know, we were trying to milk the clock towards the end. But, you know, that first quarter, I thought we did a good job of executing. We talked up front. Everybody was getting their block. We ran the ball really well. Took shots when we needed to. Yeah, communication was huge up front. I think our front five guys did a dang good job of leading the way and starting us off on the right foot.
You know, talk about those guys a little bit more. I mean, that was a defensive line that MMCRU had last year, and I get they have a lot of new faces, but that was a defensive line that manhandled teams at times, even once they went to the Unidome. So, you know, how much confidence did those five guys on the line for you have in their ability to do what they needed to do to move the ball for you?
Yeah, they still gave us fits. I mean, it wasn't easy. They stuffed us quite a few times. We just, Snuck through on a couple of big runs, and then a little play action here, or take a shot, try to back them off a little bit, so we can continue to run. But they were giving us fits. Kudos to them. They did a heck of a job up front. Just proud of our guys for executing, and I thought our scheme really, really benefited us tonight, just being able to follow through with what we thought was going to happen.
How about on the defensive side? The one piece they did return last year was their quarterback, and you still held that offense to zero. Describe what went well defensively for you.
Yeah, it was mentality was bend, don't break. They got a heck of a quarterback over there, run, throw the ball, dual threat. We were just a little bit unsure what we were going to expect. I didn't think he was going to run the ball as much. But he's fast, he's big, he's hard to take down. I'm happy they flew around, they made plays, created a couple fumbles, a couple turnovers were huge. Just trying to contain him was tough, but the guys did the job, and they did a dang good job.
Well, on those turnovers, I know we talked a little bit in our preseason chat a couple weeks ago, Coach, how impactful those were. That really was not something your defense did a whole lot of last year. But, boy, it had to be great to see you guys be able to force some turnovers and shut down possessions that way last night.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome to see it. I haven't seen an interception in a while, and one of our guys took an interception for 20 or 30 yards. Yeah. Went up scoring on that turnover, which was huge because I think we just threw an interception. So good change of momentum there. But, yeah, they understand where they got to be. For the most part, they were in the right spot. Did a good job hitting. I need to still work on tackling, I'm not going to lie. But, Curly, we'll fix it.
Yep, it's week one. I think every coach I talked to this week is going to say something or did say something along the lines of we didn't tackle very well, so you are certainly not alone. How about if we flip things now to the second half? You mentioned you got up 18-0 as well, so you were able to extend that lead in the second half, but obviously the final score turned out to be a one-score game at 18-13. So what kind of things changed when you came out of the halftime break?
Yeah, I mean, we received the ball. Ended up doing a really good drive, executed well. And then after that, I don't know what the mentality was. It changed. Was it to play, not to lose? Was it, hey, we're up. We never felt this way before. I can't pinpoint it right now. Honestly, not too happy about that.
Right.
Something we got to work on. But, you know, a lot of it came down to, I think, lack of execution in that late third, fourth quarter, especially on offense. We shot ourselves in the foot a couple times. Some penalties that hurt us or just little things that can set you back that, you know, you don't want to be second and 15. That's just a tough spot to be in. So
was all of the that lack of execution, did a lot of it come down to penalties, or were some other things happening maybe mid-play of a non-penalty variant that was still hurting you as well?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. We had a couple guys line up in the wrong spot. Mm-hmm. We had a couple of bad snaps. Caleb, I think, turned the wrong way one time. Mm-hmm. Just little things that, you feel some pressure. Maybe you just forget the play for a half second and kind of messes up the whole thing. So I think that part got to us, the fatigue got to us. But, you know, just proud of them for finishing the game and keeping that lead and just getting that W. That was huge for us.
John Sievert once again with us, head coach of Akron Westfield football, 18-13 winners over MMCRU, the number 7 team in the Radio Iowa poll. And I think that goes back to what you talked about defensively in the first half, the bend but don't break attitude. Yeah, you still gave up 2 touchdowns in the second half, but boy, some resilience and some toughness, even in the face of adversity, you know that can carry you a long way, Coach.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they were in the red zone a couple times, and I think we stopped them twice out of the 4, which was huge. That was huge for us. So, you know, you flip it and they score the 4 times they're in the red zone. And it's a whole other ball game. So, bend, don't break, fly to the football, make plays. I mean, that's what they did. They did a dang good job of it. It's tough. You know, it's their quarterback gave us fits. He was running the ball well, throwing the ball well. He's a damn good athlete, but our guys they did a good job at, you know, they finished the game. That's what it came down to.
You still exit 1-0, and that's the most important thing. Again, 18-13 win over MMCRU. Gosh, a great win for you guys. I know we've talked about some of the adversity you've already faced this season, and just a very great win for you. And now you start district play next week. You head to Sloan for a battle against Westwood. I know they won big in week one as well. They were playing Alta Aurelia and got a really big win to the season. So you're both 1-0. Both probably feeling some good confidence, but what's going to have to happen this week in practice, next week in the game, to make sure that this doesn't end up being a season that is a disappointment after, say week one, and you can follow it up with a good performance?
Yeah, well, do some good film study, brush up on our miscues, and make sure we're where we need to be on both sides of the ball. And, you know, go into the game with a good game plan and make sure we execute the game plan. That's what it comes down to. Not doing anything on the fly or trying to fall into the trap. So if we could do that, keep our head on straight, stay healthy, good things are going to happen.
Well, and thankfully you were able to do that against MMCRU. We'll see if you can do that against Westwood. Should be a really good test for you guys on the road. Coach, congrats on the big win. Really awesome to see. And best of luck as you start district play next week.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Yep, my pleasure as always. That's John Sievert, head coach of Akron Westfield football. We'll take a break, wrap up the Coach's Corner next here on KLEM.
Get your gear for next week's games at Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's. Hi, this is Lori. We have a great selection of Bulldog and Jay's gear that will fit everyone. Baby through adult 3X sizes. We have things like onesies, short sleeve and long sleeve t-shirts, sweatshirts, shorts, stocking caps, baseball caps. Stop in and check out our new styles and grab a stadium chair and a water bottle branded with your favorite team. Watch the games in comfort and style. Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's.
Shop and save at your local Lamar's Hy-Vee food store. They're open 7 days a week from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. for your convenience. You can start your day with a hot breakfast and fresh donuts in their dining room. Then enjoy a shopping experience that will meet all your needs for the days or weeks to come. Explore the meat market, the floral department, or the pharmacy. For whatever you need, discover red hot deals at your local Lamar's Hy-Vee food store. And also check out additional daily specials on Facebook.
Hy-Vee, where there's a
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Well, our Coach's Corner program this morning has been brought to you by Hy-Vee, Floyd Valley Healthcare, Ameriprise Financial, Agent Michael K. Rulin, Wilchin Brothers Construction, Chapman Overhead Doors, Nohava Construction, True Health Chiropractic, and Get Branded 360. Well, it was a treat once again to chat with some great area football coaches, Lamar's head coach Ken Vigdahl, Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler, and Akron Westfield head coach John Sievert, the three winning coaches from last night's competition. Again, you can find all of the football scores from week one around the area on our website right now at KLEM1410.com. Looking ahead to next week, week two of the high school football season brings the beginning of district play for some teams and, well, the continuation of non-district play for others. Starting with our contest next Friday night, it'll be Lamar's at Bishop Heelan. Coverage starts at 6:15 with the Radio Iowa Scouting Report. Kickoff at 7. You can catch that right here on KLEM Radio. We'll also have a video stream on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel. As we got done talking with Jeremy Schindler about this, Galen Catholic hosts Sibley O'Cheedon, their home opener, district opener, big game in Lamar's next week. It is going to be Hinton at MMCRU next week, and didn't expect, well, either of those teams or both of those teams to be 0-1 heading into that matchup, so that'll be a very good ball game in Marcus. Akron Westfield starts district play at Westwood in Sloan coming up next week. Kingsley Pearson is off. That is a byproduct of Siouxland Christian canceling their season. And then Remsen St. Mary's, their final home game is next week. It's homecoming. They're hosting GTRA to begin district play before five straight games on the road. So that is what's coming up for football teams. Again, our broadcast schedule will feature Lamar's and Helan coming up next Friday, 7 o'clock. Pregame starts at 6:15 with the Radio Iowa Scouting Report. We also have some volleyball for you on Tuesday. Very excited about this one. We're heading to Remsen. War Eagle Conference Volleyball has now instituted some a triangular into their schedule. So we're going to have three volleyball matches. They're going to be best of three sets, but three volleyball matchups for you on Tuesday. We're going to start at 5 o'clock on Tuesday night, Galen Catholic against Remsen St. Mary's. Then once that wraps up, it's going to be Akron Westfield against Galen, and then we're going to cap off the night with Akron Westfield and Remsen St. Mary's. Those three teams, I think, very well evenly matched, so those are going to be some very good volleyball contests. You can tune into those right here on KLEM Radio. We'll have you covered all throughout the night, so that should be a fun night of volleyball in Remsen coming up on KLEM on Tuesday. If you missed this show, we'll have it archived for you. You can find that at KLEM1410.com as well under our sports podcast page. So plenty of great resources on our website to follow along with all of the hard-hitting high school football action all throughout the season. And again, a reminder, check out the KLEM Radio YouTube channel if you'd like to watch back last night's game between Galen Catholic and Hinton, or if you'd like to go back and check out Remsen St. Mary's matchup with Arweva in Week 0, we have those video streams archived for you on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel. Well, that'll do it for this morning. Again, thanks to all of our coaches for joining us. Thanks to you for listening. For all of us at KLEM Radio and for KLEM Sports, I'm Daniel Versteeg. Have a great rest of your Saturday.